God willing, you all have the privilege one day of going through Shas. Maybe some of you have it already. Maybe we just don't realize it. That's what Hashem is Barach. You all have one day have the schus, right, of finishing Shas. And it's so clear that different Rishonim, hopefully you picked that up already, that different Rishonim have different jobs. I remember when I was younger, I was once watching an older guy learn, and he had a stack of Sfarim. And I was trying to understand, why he would use that one and not this one. And each one had a different job and a different role. And they each had a different kind of questions. When I was much younger, I couldn't figure out, why each of the Sfarim. And as you get older, you realize, you begin to understand that different Rishonim have different jobs, different purposes on the daf and helping us understand how to approach, whether it's Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh, and each Rishon is built on the shoulders of all those who came before them. Whenever we try to talk about Rashi and Tosos, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is Rashi and Tosos, so we call the bread and butter, the basics, the fundamentals, Rashi and Tosos. So always, every year in Shir, I always say that Rashi and Tosos, the difference between Rashi and Tosos is lahavdil, the difference when you watch any ball game. Right, when you listen to any ball game, right, there's always the color commentator, there's the play-by-play. Right, the play-by-play guy, this player is doing this, this player is doing this, he's going here, he's going there, he's passing to here, he's passing to this one. That's play-by-play. The color commentator is usually some older, retired player who says, oh, but you remember this season, and then this happened, this stat. He's quoting stats and trying to analyze the game as you're kind of watching it. Especially in baseball, it's really, I find baseball not always so super exciting. So you need a little bit more of that. But either way, so that's the fundamental concept in Rashi Tosos. That's what I always thought. And that's what I thought when I was much, much younger. And that certainly is a very basic, almost childish version of understanding of what Rashi Tosos are. But if you look a little deeper and you think about it a little bit more, there's amazing, amazing differences between Rashi and Tosos as you look through Shas. And again, when I say as you look through Shas, so I want to be very clear here. It's not that I've sat and took a quick tour through Shas to come up with these ideas. This shiur is based on an amazing sefer called Kerem Yehoshua. I think they just reprinted it in English. Highly, highly recommend it. Written by Yeshua Cohen. He is lovingly known as Shas Cohen. He's an Av Beis Din in Ger in Yerushalayim. You have to be a certain kind of person to have a nickname of Shas Cohen. So he has this amazing sefer, comes with these awesome, absolutely tremendous fundamental principles that come out of learning all of Shas. So he says the following. When you look through all of Shas, you'll notice the following. Rashi does not quote Yerushalmis directly. We know there's the Talmud Bavli, written in Bavli, all the time Yerushalmi written in Eretz Yisrael. And we learn both. Many people learn, obviously, more focused on Bavli. That's what we do. We focus on Bavli. There are those who also, learn Gemara Yerushalmi. And I never forget here, many years ago when I was living here in the Heights, on Erev Pesach, right, Blau, Shlita, he showed me the old Mashgiach of Wayu. I remember on Erev Pesach, for the Siyum Bechoros, he came in here to make a Siyum, and he made a Siyum on Seder Yerushalmi Nashim. Some people learn Seder Yerushalmi. However, most people focus, obviously, on Bavli. When you look through Shasta, you recognize that Rashi does not quote Yerushalmis. He only quotes Yerushalmis if they're quoted by other Rishonim or other of his Rebbeim. For example, there's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Yom Amud Aleph. Listen to this. The Gemara says that Rashi quotes a Rishami in the name of, quoting from the Sefer Baal Halachos Gedolos. Or, in Shabbos, Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. Also, again, Rashi quotes from Rav Haigon. If Rashi knew the Gemara's Rishami, why doesn't Rashi quote it himself? Rashi certainly was a massive Talmud Chacham. He certainly was a Bucky in all of Bavli and probably all of Yerushalmi. But he doesn't quote them. Rashi does not quote Yerushalmis. When we think about what Rashi does and what he doesn't do, we need to think about it in contrast to other Rishonim. As you're going through Gemaras, hopefully at this point you've seen many, many Tosasim. Tosas all the time will say, oh, Perish Bekuntres, Rashi says the following, However, mihu, there's a Yerushalmi against that Rashi, and all the time he'll quote a kasha on Rashi from a Yerushalmi. It's ma'aseh b'chol yom on almost every daf. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi against Rashi. So the question is, what's going on here? How do we understand? Why is it that Rashi is so, I'll call it Yerushalmi phobic, whereas Tosfos all the time is part of how he learns, it's part of his derech halimud. What's going on here with the Yerushalmi? What is it about the Yerushalmi that perhaps can highlight for us the difference between Rashi and Tosfos? Rabbi Shmuel Cohen says, in order to really understand this, we need to ask a different question about the Yerushalmi itself. When you think about Gemara Yerushalmi, so one of the most amazing differences between Bavli and Yerushalmi is how they are written. And it's almost counterintuitive. Talmud Bavli was written in Bavel. Yet if you look through Bavli, if you look at Talmud Bavli, the style of Aramaic is much, much easier Aramaic. And there's actually more Lashon HaKodesh, more Hebrew, in the Gemara Talmud Bavli, as opposed to Talmud Yerushalmi, which is written in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. The Aramaic is much, much harder, much more difficult, and it has much less Lashon HaKodesh, much less Hebrew, much more Aramaic. The question is why? Why is the style, and God willing, you'll have time, you know, many years ahead of you to look at Yerushalmi, why is it so different between the style of Bavli and the style of Yerushalmi? So Yeshua Cohen says there are two fundamental principles that are brought up in many of the poskim. He says, first he brings us a technical approach. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama on Pei Beis Amud Aleph that says, quotes, Rebbe says in Eretz Yisrael, they speak difficult Aramaic. The Gemara says they speak difficult Aramaic. And therefore, as opposed to the Aramaic spoken, I guess, in other countries where Jews live, so the fact that they spoke difficult Aramaic, not only did they speak difficult, they also wrote difficult Aramaic. Meaning it was just technical to historical fact. Okay. Technical answer. However, says Yerushalmi Cohen, perhaps we can think a little bit deeper, a little more philosophical. Because why? Why, according to that Gemara, did they have Aramaic that was so much harder in Bavel than anywhere else? So Yerushalmi Cohen says a fascinating approach. Is we know that normally we're not allowed to write down Torah Shvah Peh, right? Everybody, we all know that, right? The Gemara Gittin, right? Dav Samach tells us that we know oral Torah is supposed to be oral. It's supposed to be passed down from Rebbe to Talmud, father to son, right? Every single day, passed down, not written. Yet comes along Yehuda Nasi and says we have to write it. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Jews are being killed. They're being transferred, deported all around the world. We need to figure out because we're losing Shas, we're losing our Torah Shvah Peh, we're losing our Mesorah. It was an Eis Lasos Hefer Torah Secha. It was an Eis Lasos. We had no choice but to write down the Torah. And therefore we have the Mishnah as it is, and therefore the Gemara out of that. But we know Be'emes that we're not supposed to write down the oral Torah at all. Yerushalmi was written approximately 150 years after the Harba. Says Yeshua Cohen that perhaps the authors of the Yerushalmi, they thought, we're not going to have a written oral Torah forevermore. Like, it was unthinkable. It was unthinkable to have the situation that we're in right now, where we have a Beis Medrash full of Sfarim. It was incomprehensible. He said, how could it be? How could it be that this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in this world? We should have a situation where we have Torah Shvah Peh, Be'asav, it's against the Bria. They thought, of course, give it time, give it a few years, we'll get back, we'll go back to the way it was. We always want back the way it used to be, way back in the day. So that, says Yerushalmi Cohen, is perhaps what the authors of the Yerushalmi thought. And therefore, when the language they used to write the Gemara Yerushalmi was written very, very challenging. Because they wanted to make it hard for anybody just to get up there and to open up a Yerushalmi, zok the Gemara to go and to learn about Yerushalmi. You need a Rebbe. You need a Mesorah. Torah Shvah Peh was meant to be a Mesorah, passed down, Rebbe to Talmud. Not just open up any Gemara, not just open up any Sefer. You need a Mesorah to understand it. It's a little bit what was bothering Rav Yitzhak Putner. Zatzal, he was a famous Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. He has an amazing set of sarm called the Pachad Yitzchak. Again, I highly recommend it. They're also hard. Hashkafa Musar, Mashava Sarm. Rav Huna writes a path on Yitzchak on Chanukah. He says that what's one of the challenges that people have when they first start translating Gemaras? Art scroll. When we look at Art scroll now, we're like, wow, what an amazing gift that Art scroll gave to Klai Yisrael. We all think that, right? We all use it on our tests, and we all learn Art scroll. I use Art scroll. It's amazing. It's one of the most amazing things in the world. What is there anything wrong with Art scroll? Is there anything wrong with learning from Art scroll? Anything? So, not inherently, but what's challenging, says Rav Huna,
removed
the requirement to learn Gemara in Torah Shel Peh with a Rebbe. So that became very challenging. Because now, no longer do we need a Rebbe to learn Gemara. Now you just open up an art scroll, and you have, as we also use the joke, right, you have Rebbe Scroll teaching you the Gemara. Right, so now, right, so that's the challenge. So the Jews and the Yerushalmi authors never imagined that there would be such a concept as a Torah Shel Peh Bichsav, and therefore these people wrote it in a way which was difficult in order to understand that. As opposed to Bavli, Bavli was written 100 years after the Yerushalmi. And by that point, the Ravina and Rav Ashi, the authors of the Bavli, realized, Chevra, this is what's going on here. This is what we're doing here. This, we are going to be in Golas now. For the time being, we need a Gemara, we need a Torah Shel Peh that's accessible to the masses, says Yehoshua Cohen. He says, and therefore, we have two different approaches on how we have Torah Shel Peh. Some Torah Shel Peh is meant to be understood by the masses, and some Torah Shel Peh is meant to require only very specific transmission from Rebbe to Talmud, or for you to be able to break your teeth on it and work so hard to figure it out. So now let's get back to how we're going to think about our Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. In the thousands of Machlokas that exist between Rashi and Tosfos all throughout Shas, there's approximately 500 times Tosfos quotes in Yerushalmi. 500 times. There are zero times, says Yerushalmi Cohen, not my own number, says Yerushalmi Cohen, there are zero times Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi directly. Quotes a Yerushalmi directly. Fascinating. So why? Why is Rashi so, going back to our question, so, we'll call it Yerushalmi phobic? Right? What's the issue? So he says, in order to begin to understand this, take what we said right now about the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi, and he quotes now from Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin, the great Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, right, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, right, one of the greatest leaders in Klal Yisrael. So Reb Chaim Volozhin asked the following questions. So when you look through Shas, you'll notice that almost always the simple understanding of the Gemara is like who? Rashi. Not generally like Tosos. Right? Usually Tosos is coming, asking Rashi from a Chazal or from a Svara or from some other idea from somewhere else. And generally, whatever answer Tosos is giving is not, again, it becomes Tosos' Pshat, but it's not always like the most simple Pasha Pshat. Rashi is usually the given. Rashi is like the foundation stone. It is the basic Pasha Pshat. Ask Reb Chaim Volozhin, I understand. Did Rashi not see those other Gemaras? Didn't Rashi know all the other Chazals that Tosfos quotes? Doesn't he know? Rashi was a Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula, obviously. When Tosfos says, oh, but Rashi, Pesh B'Kontra is this, but it's against three other Gemaras, what does that mean? Did Rashi not know those Gemaras? Of course Rashi knew those Gemaras. Why doesn't Rashi also quote those Gemaras? Or why doesn't Rashi come to the same conclusion that Tosfos came to? Right? On the other hand, didn't Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri and the Rimi Korbil, all the Abali Tosfos, didn't they know the Pasha Pshat understanding according to Rashi? Like, I don't understand. How does that even work? What they seem to both, perhaps, not as make so much sense if you really stop and think about it. So says Reb Chaim, all these thousands of machlokasim throughout Shas, Rashi, Tosfos, are not separate individual machlokasim. They are one fundamental machlokas on how you approach Chazal. And listen to what Yeshua Cohen, in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhin, says the following. So he says, the machlokas Rashi, Tosfos is based on the previous machlokas in the Derech HaLimud of Samam Arayim. He says, sometimes the Gemara asks a question from a Resha to a Seifa or a Braisa on a Mishnah. Right? And the Gemara often does it back and forth. We have this literally every single day in Gemara. Every single day in Shas. So let's play it out. You have, imagine any Gemara. Imagine the Gemara you learned today. Right? Matt, usually, probably the Gemara you had today, at some point, the Gemara says, oh, Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa, or Urim Minhu. It's a kasha from usually another text somewhere else. So what does the Gemara do? How does the Gemara deal with that? How does the Gemara deal with a competing chazal? So you have a few choices, right? You could say, oh, it's okay, we're just going to explain them away. You know, ha, Kiri Kiva, ha, Kiri Shema. And they attribute the two different chazals according to two different tanaim. Or the Gemara could say, no, really, we assume like Kiri Kiva, he is the author of this Mishnah, and he's the main thing that we're trying to figure out here. Oh, but it doesn't make sense, okay, but the chiddush is that according to this one, the Gemara then tries to come up with a taich, or figure out a whole new pshat, a whole new chiddush, according to that other chazal. Those are the two approaches. These two approaches, you ever wonder why the Gemara sometimes does the first approach, and sometimes does the other approach? So says Yerushua Kohen, in the name of Chaim Lozhner, it depends on who is saying it. There are different mesoras, different traditions on how we understand chazal. Says Ruchaim Lozhner, generally, when we look at Tanayim and Amoraim, they come out of different schools of thought. In particular, when it comes to Amoraim, he says Rav Zira, Rav Eliezer, Rabba, they generally say the first Shita. They generally have that first Mahalach. They will come to opposing Chazals and they'll say, oh, they'll explain it away. Right? They'll say Zulo, Shana Zu, or this one's like Rav Kiva, this one's like Rav Shmuel, they'll explain it away. However, there are some Amoraim, particularly Rava, all throughout Shas. Rava is of the opinion that it's the opposite. Rava comes along and says, we need to come up to figure out how every Chazal all works out together, even if it means coming up with some whopper of a Chiddush. That's the Shita of Rava. Right? So if you want to understand, you know the players here, we have Team Rava and Team Rava. Right? Team Rava and Team Rava. So, asked Rav Chaim Lozhner, so why didn't those other Amoraim, right, say Rava's Chiddush? And didn't Rava know that you could just also attribute it to the other Shitas as well? Like, why is it? Why, same kind of question, why don't they each say like the other one? Similar to the question like Rashi and Behad Tosos. So Rav Chaim Lozhner explains the following. The machlokas between these two sets of Amoraim, and again, it's not just these Amoraim, but rather he has a whole list, but we'll call it Team Rava and Team Rava, is how we understand what the Torah Shav Peh is meant to be, and how it's meant to be learned. Meaning, we have the Mishnah. We have the Mishnah. According to the first group, it's meant as like they're like originalists in terms of text. This is the Mishnah. This is a Braisa. Okay, Shkayach. Those are not related to each other. One is like Rishma, one's like Rikiva. We have Midrashim, and they can each be understood in their own way, but kip shuto. They're meant to be understood of what they are. Rava holds that the purpose that he says that most Mishnayos are meant to be read simply. But there are other Mishnayos that are meant to be vague. They're meant to be what's called Mechadet HaTamidim, to get us to start thinking about it. What do you mean there's just a Mishnah? But that's against a Braisa, and that's against another Mishnah even. Oh, but that's against a Svara. Oh, but that's not Rov, that's not Chazaka, whatever it might be. We have opposing Svaros to say that's not such a simple thing. You can't just read a Mishnah straight. Then you imagine you open up a Mishnayos. You can't just open up a Mishnayos and read it straight. You need Mefarshim, the explanation. You need to understand what's going on. Rava says you can't just read Mishnayos. You need to be able to understand them within the context of a Chol HaTorah Kula. You have to be able to look at it in the big picture. He says this is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Remember what we said about introducing Bavli and Yerushalmi? One's meant to be read simply. It was meant to be to create what's called like a rangitud and learning, to get all worked up, to be able to figure out pshat, to be able to have speak to a Rebbe, to understand back and forth. That same difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi, that difference in approach, is the difference between Team Rabba and Team Rava, and says Yeshua Kohen in the name of Chaim Lozhner, is the difference between Rashi and Tosos. He says as well. He says, Rashi and Tosos argue about the original intent, and very relevant to our Supreme Court discussion. Right? Right? So that original intent. Rashi holds, Shas was written for everyone to understand. It has to be fully accessible to everybody. It in theory can be learned without analysis, without comparing texts, without looking at other makomos, other sugyas in Shas. Pashat Pshat. He's always trying to get to the heart of what's going on here. The Pashat Pshat meaning. The Bali Tosos say not true. They were always encouraging us to analyze the Gemara, to look at other sugyas, to look at other Gemaras, to look at Yerushalmi, to dig deeper, to dig deeper. When the Bali Tosos have another Chazal, yeah, of course they're bothered by that, because they're going that same approach. That the whole point is to get us to get more involved in it. The goal is not to just figure out, just simply, just Pashat Pshat. Therefore, of course, Rashi doesn't quote Yerushalmis. Rashi doesn't need to quote Yerushalmis, because that's not his goal. That's not the job. Right? His job is to tell our Gemara, and just to, what does our Gemara say? Pashat Pshat. That's the goal. That's his job. That's the wherefore Yerushalmis become extraneous. They become unnecessary. It's not that Rashi has a hold of Yerushalmi, God forbid. Of course Rashi knew the Yerushalmis, but he's not bothered by the Yerushalmis, because it doesn't make a difference. There's a Gemara Bavli, there's a Gemara Yerushalmi. The two are different worlds. You can then, okay, what we do halacha ma'isa, that's a different discussion. Of course you can get deeper, and of course you should learn Gemara deeper. But Gemara itself was meant to be learned straight, Pashat Pshat. And so when Tosa says, oh, there's a Yerushalmi, that's okay. We can figure out how to understand the Yerushalmi within the context of our Gemara. So we have these two divergent approaches that follow us now between Bavli Yerushalmi, Team Rabba, Team Rava, and now between Rashi and Tosos. That there's two different approaches all throughout learning Torah. There's trying to get to the simple pshat of things, then there's trying to get much deeper, to uncover it, to think and to analyze. Right? Often what we refer to in Yeshiva as Iyun, perhaps versus Bakias. Right? Iyun, getting involved in it, looking in deeper. Bakias, right, we want to go through the Gemara. We understand Pashat Pshat. Our goal is to be able to understand just what's going on here in the Gemara. Right? So what kind of learning is better? What kind of learning is better? If we just went through this intellectual exercise, right, so then it would be great. It's fascinating, interesting. Right? What's the takeaway for us? What's the takeaway as B'nai Yeshiva? Right? We spend most of our day here in Yeshiva, B'iyun, right? Sitting, analyzing, thinking, looking at the Gemara, looking at Rashi, looking at Tosos, understanding the Rishonim. We spend much more time on that. Right? The Gemara itself differentiates between two types of people, of learners. Right? There's a Sinai, and there's an Oker Harib. Right? A Sinai, somebody who usually refers to somebody who was like an expert, B'chol HaTorah Kula. They are involved in Halacha, and flattening the like a desert floor, understanding what the Chazal is, what the bottom line is. Right? We'll call that like our Rashi, our Bavli approach. There are those who are Oker Harim. The Oker Harim are the people who say, you know what? They're the Lamdunim. They're thinking about, they're the analyzers. They're in Pilpul. They're thinking back and forth, different sugyas going back and forth. Right? That's our Yerushalmi, our Tosas Mahalach. Right? There are, the Gemara itself, though, has different approaches. It seems to be the Gemara seems to favor, however, the Sinai, the more simple, the straightforward approach. Right? There's a Marsha, in Shabbos and also in Erevin, the Marsha says that when the reason why it's called an Oker Harim, right? Oker Harim is perhaps like a little bit of like a not as pleasant, nickname, referring to the discussion, the Medrash you all learned when you were little, when there was Har Sinai, right? He was a little mountain. And all the harem all around him. Right? But yet, what does Harsinai do? He says, even though you're so great, but right, as my children sing the song, right? You are much taller than me, right? But right, look at all the things that I could do, right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu still gave the Torah on Sinai. Yet, so it's like a little bit of a knock, right? They're Oker Harim. So like you're Oker, those mountains, all the ones around him. At the end of the day, the Sinai, right, is the main thing that was given the Torah on the simple plain mountain. That the Marsha says is really what the goal is to live, understand, Pashat Pshat. Yes, of course we learn B'iyun. Of course we should spend time understanding the Gemara. Of course we should sit and delve into it. And as those of us who have learned Nefesh HaChayim since the lockdown in March, right, we've spent many hours learning the power of Torah Lishma and learning the Iyun and learning for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's all of the Iyun. And all through Nefesh HaChaim, as Reb Chaim Vojina writes, all through Shara Dalet, that a person could achieve true Shlemus in their Torah learning through Iyun. Right? However, but it seems like certainly the basics, the fundamental, has to always start from the Rashi approach, from the Bavli approach, from Team Rabba, right? From the basic approach. And we'll end with a well-known story that kind of brings it all together. When they say Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Chatzar of Kosher Bracha, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the great Rashiva of Torah Vidas, one of the most amazing, amazing poskim. He was Nifter in 1986. Not so long ago. Incredible, incredible person. If you want to read, in my opinion, the best art school biography of Gedolim, is Rabbi Yaakov biography. It's amazing. It gives you a real good perspective on Jewish history, what was going on in the yeshivas and in Europe pre-war. It's an amazing, amazing person, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov was known, even though he was literally one of the Gedolei Hador, perhaps one of the top, most well-respected Gedolim in America. Yeah, Rabbi Yaakov was known that his shir was very, very simple, very straightforward. His svarim are amazing. If you don't have it yet, you should get Emes Yaakov and the Parsha. Have seen personally my favorite Parsha Sefer. Emes Yaakov also, even on shiurim as well, he has on Shas. Their shiurim are incredible. They're focused on getting basic pshat. So they say one time Rabbi Yaakov walked into yeshiva, and he came into yeshiva in Torah Vidas, and he walked in with a coffee, a little tired, and all of a sudden started giving shiur, and he totally went on a different derech than he normally does. He started giving incredible pilpul shiur back and forth, rishonim and achronim flying over the place, and there were questions. And so after shiur, one of the talmidim came over to him and said, "Rebbe, what's going on? Why is today's shiur so different?" He said, I had a chasana last night of one of my old talmidim. I was up so late. I didn't get home till so late. I got almost no sleep. I had no time to prepare for shiur. So I had to give that kind of a shiur." But the Emes, he always wanted to say pshat. He wanted to say the simple, basic understanding that we can have, we can always truly understand what is the Ratzon Hashem. Because that's ultimately the goal of Torah, is to always understand what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me. Right? Shas is that opportunity to understand what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me in this world. As we start from the Chumash, we go to Chazal, but the Gemara then looks, especially God willing, as we go through all of Shas multiple times, that Bez Hashem is Baruch, you'll be able to pick up on these ideas. Meaning, this concept, this shiur that we just went through just now, it might seem like a very simple concept, but in order to develop that, the Yeshua Kohen, the Shas Kohen, he had to literally go through Shas countless times to be able to understand these kind of yisodos within Bavli, Yerushalmi, Rashi, and Tosos. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all. We should have the clarity and understanding to be able to master Shas at such a level. The Bez Hashem is Baruch. You should always know what Hashem wants from us in this world. Okay, Shkach, guys. Thank you.